Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode number 87 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and Sean Orford. Hey Sean, how are you doing?
I'm doing very, 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 very well.
It sure is windy out there, isn't it?
It's like being in the Hammer House of Horrors today.
Any rattles and bashes and trees falling down, that explains that.
Yeah, we do this at the crack of dawn, don't we? So it's still dark out there and it's just getting lighter.
I've noticed it's getting lighter. The mornings and are getting lighter and evenings likewise.
I keep expecting a bat to fly past the window today.
I keep expecting a tree to fall on that new car of yours. That would be a shame, wouldn't it?
Yeah. That's my what you've been doing this week. So I've got a new car this week, which is loads of fun. It's an upgrade of the old one, but it does kind of crazy things, like it parks itself. You pull alongside a parking space, and it says, "I'll fit in there." So you press the OK button, and then it parks itself.
Have you used it yet?
Nope.
Through fear or just because you like doing it?
No, it's total anxiety. I've got to find a space big enough and then go and play with it. When I was in the garage, I was sat in the passenger seat, and the guy from the garage was showing me how to do it. And dead easy, but you have to take your hands off the wheel and let the car do it, which is all a bit...
There's probably some good life lessons in there in terms of letting the hands off the wheel of life and just letting the universe do its thing.
Yes. Yeah. Going backwards and knowing you're going to stop in time.
Yeah. If you do crash, it's only doing 5 miles an hour, so...
Yeah.
You'd be whiplash-free, I would have thought. You'd probably be able to make a big claim, though. What's the insurance thing for cars that... Self-driving cars that crash? What is the deal?
I don't know. That's interesting, yeah.
Where's the fault lie?
But this has weird things. Like, when you're on the motorway, it tells you if you're too close to the car in front.
Can you switch that off?
A red light comes on to tell you you're too close, and then if you get too close, then an alarm sounds.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Bizarre.
Yeah.
Weird.
Cool, yeah. We're talking memory this week, aren't we?
Yeah.
The strange thing of memory, like, think of all the stuff we've forgotten. In years and years of life. But we'll talk about that, ways you can increase your memory or improve it even.
So what's your week been like?
Pretty good, yeah. We've had some good sleep breakthroughs with little Jacob. I think he's breaking almost daily records now. Although he's had a bit of a weird night last night. But he went like nine and a half hours one night. From 8 at night till 4 or 5 in the morning. So.
Nice.
Yeah, it's cool. I think there is apparently... I haven't looked at this up, but I was told it, so it must be true. There is some kind of sleep trigger that comes in about 12 weeks in a human being, that they kind of they're given some kind of whatever hormone that tells them to sleep longer, rather than waking every 4 hours for a feed, which is the standard baby thing.
The thing about sleeping, that's when you grow, isn't it? That's when your bones grow.
Really?
When you're asleep, yeah. Mm. So there is a...
So why are we so small? We've been up all night.
You know, sleep. There is an issue about when you sleep is when all that kind of stuff happens. Physical repair goes on, but bone growth happens.
Right.
When you're asleep. Yeah.
It's an important time, as we're going to discuss slightly during this week's show. Just for those who are new, there is a blog post to accompany this podcast. If you go to liveinthepresent.co.uk, you can find it there. You can also find all the show notes from this week and all the archived shows, so all the 86 other episodes, all available for free on the website. Hey, how about that?
Amazing.
Not bad.
Amazing. What a deal.
Fantastic deal, isn't it? Before we go into the week's show, I just want to mention something that's coming up next week that will have happened by the time the new one goes out, the next one. It's World Cancer Day, February the 4th, Wednesday, which Ria's told me to mention, but cancer's a big deal, right?
Yep. Yeah, estimated that 50% of us, half of us, will get cancer at some point in life. People find the word cancer hard to say. They say big C and that kind of thing.
I'm going to break off a little bit there. I was watching a documentary about Dubai. It was one of these, it was a Piers Morgan thing on YouTube. I'll put the link up, if I remember, about Dubai and how, you know, everyone's filthy rich, blah, blah, blah. But there was something about the certain way of life out there in terms of they don't talk about bad stuff. And there's no word, he was saying, this guy, this Arabic guy, for cancer. Or they don't use the word cancer out there. They call it the disease that shall not be mentioned or something, because they think that, you know, if you talk about stuff, you bring it on, that kind of, which I thought was quite interesting.
Yeah. But on the basis, that assumes that cancer is a killer. Of the 50% of us that get cancer, we're at a point where 50% of us are surviving cancer. So that the survival rates get longer and longer. So we're at a point where we're starting to talk about not dying from cancer, but living with cancer.
Yep.
Yeah. So we have to get our heads around using the word cancer. I keep saying it. So we don't avoid it. But we use it positively. Yeah.
You should get out to Dubai, do some work there.
Yeah.
They pay well.
Yeah. I wonder if they would.
Yeah.
I'll be there. I think that, yes, Cancer Day is coming up Wednesday next week, and it's something that it's worth taking a nod at. It's worth taking a look at. There are loads of things that happen, like the runs, the pink runs for breast cancer, stuff like that.
I mean, it says they'll take it's obviously a worldwide thing. I'm kind of interested in how this thing sprung up, and it's some Swiss kind of cancer institute type thing, but doing some cool stuff, and it's taking a proactive and positive approach to the fight against cancer, highlighting that solutions do exist across the continuum of cancer, and that they are within our reach.
Yeah, and if you think about the history of illness, the diseases that have killed people, whether it's been the Black Death or whatever, as we've evolved, each time we find a cure for things, then other things pop up as the nature of...
Well, I haven't looked in the history of it. It would be interesting to know when the word cancer, or when it was actually figured that... Because it's been killing people since forever.
Yeah.
But when did we actually realise...
Animals get cancer.
When did we realise, hey, there's this thing, cancer, tumours are growing, and...
Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it?
I mean, really, what happens is that all the cells in your body agree to cooperate to create your body. A cancer is when one cell gets its ego out of order and decides to go off and do its own thing. So rather than working with the image of the body, it's starting to create an alternative to the body. That's what a cancer is, which is why you have to cut it out, because it's not going with the general feeling of everybody else in the body. And we talk about people being cancerous or situations being cancerous that need to be cut out.
Yeah.
It's that same kind of thing.
Right. Okay.
The other thing I'd like to shout out for is yesterday, as we record this, was Holocaust Day. And it reminded me of when I visited Bergen-Belsen in Germany, and there was a thing on the TV about it, and it's where Anne Frank died, of the Anne Frank Diaries.
Sure.
And
Diaries. That's relevant to what we're talking about today.
It is indeed.
Yep.
Yeah. And it made me think that. I need to go and watch Schindler's List again.
Yeah, I was thinking that last night, actually. Yeah, I mean, there's been a load of Holocaust stuff on the BBC and across the channels. I've recorded a couple and actually watched the documentary, which was pretty harrowing, but...
Yeah.
Hey, man, it's horrendous, wasn't it? So
I don't know how true to life the Schindler's List film is, but it certainly makes you think. It's one of those things that gives you a nudge into, you know, looking at things in another way. I think it's Schindler's List as they go through some education process.
Sure.
Yeah.
I can't wait, yeah. Steven Spielberg, Will's going to be going through all that stuff.
Yeah.
Jaws, maybe. I might give him Jaws before Schindler's List.
Yeah,
that'll
be all right.
Okay, well, that's cancer and the Holocaust sorted. That's a chirpy start to our conversation.
That's good, yeah.
But this week we're talking about memory, and I'll tell you why we're talking about this. It's because my good old father and brother-in-law were chatting about the show, and I think they're quite keen listeners. And they said, why can you talk about memory, Ed? Because me and your dad have been wondering why we always forget people's names. And I'm one of those guys, actually. I'm not that great at remembering names. I think personally it's because I'm not there in the moment all the time. I'm a bit of a daydreamer. But it's quite interesting, isn't it, how some different types of memory, and sometimes some things just slip through our grasp. Right, the way, obviously, I'm thinking, you know, I've been alive for 33 years, and if I really think, how much of that time can I remember? Like, what was I doing on April the 15th, 1987? You know, I haven't got a blaming clue.
But maybe our conversation begins with, what's memory for? Why do we have it?
Let's begin there.
Yeah. And from an evolutionary point of view, memory has to be about safety. What we're doing is we're remembering where the good food is, so we know where to go and eat. And we're also remembering where the bad things are, so we can avoid the danger.
Yeah, yeah. And certain creatures, or we're one of them, or have got incredible memories, you know, the whole elephant thing.
Yeah.
And that's the evolution thing, because they remember where the water holes are and all that, and they pass through the forest and all that stuff. There's a bit of a myth about goldfish having a three-second memory.
Yeah, they're like old creatures. They remember what they need to remember.
There's a link-up about myths of other animals there. But
I mean, one of the things about an elephant is people say, like, a memory like an elephant, but elephants become fixed in their memory. I mean, the experiment with an elephant is that if you tether it to a chain, so it can only walk in, say, a 20-metre circle.
Yep.
If you take the chain off, it will still only walk in that 20-metre circle.
Right.
So it gets fixed and locked in memory. So memory can be something which is very, very powerful in the sense that it protects us, it lets us know who we are and allows us to do creative things. But memory can also be the thing that fixes us in a set of negative behaviours, which is the habit.
I was thinking, I'd written down about how it's important to remember the bad stuff as well. Yeah. I was thinking, we've just been talking about the Holocaust, and you wonder... The people, because there's still a few people around that survived it and went through the concentration camp lark stuff, which can't have been much fun. But you wonder about memory and whether those people want to remember, or they're probably at the point now, I'm guessing, where they want to, because they feel it important to share what happened and, like, don't let this happen again, guys, you know, because it was ridiculous. But then at the time, maybe it was like a year after it, maybe all they wanted to do was forget about it and erase it from their memories, you know.
Well, one of the things that happens for me a lot therapeutically is that people come along and they've been through traumatic experience, and that could be anything from an assault, maybe hostage taking, even through to rapes, murders, accidents.
Mm-hmm.
And people are having what we'd call post-traumatic stress disorder, where they're flashing back to memories that they don't want to flash back to. Now, the thing is... that a memory as a thing is a structure. It's part of the scaffolding inside your cognitive mind.
Yeah.
And you cannot get rid of memories in therapy. You know, you come along and people say, I don't want to remember this. What you do in therapy is you disassociate the emotion with the memory. So that by desensitizing the emotion in a post-traumatic way, that the relevance of the memory ceases to be important in the brain, so that I can actually go through those visual memories and not get emotionally aroused. So they don't become irrelevant. One of the things that you were saying earlier on is about what is it when people can't remember other people's names,
mm-hmm.
right? What we're actually saying is, and I think that this is a really, really important thing, is that memory comes in two halves. There's the thinking bit, which is that structural bit, but it's the emotional association that gives the memory relevance.
Yep.
I mean, if you're in love with another person, if you fancy them like crazy, you're never ever going to forget their name.
Sure.
Because you're emotionally energised, yeah? And one of the things, it sounds a bit demeaning to people that you forget their name, but what's happening is that their emotional relevance to you is diminishing.
Sure.
Therefore, you don't remember the name. I mean, one of the magic things about working in the NHS is everybody wears ID badges. And in one trust alone, I'm dealing with 6,000 staff. There's no way I can remember everyone's name. I can remember their faces.
Well, you say that. Yeah, OK. There will be, obviously.
Yeah.
But
well, I can remember people's faces, and when I see their face, the look of their face brings back all the memories of their story. Yeah, and that's because memory, in our sense, is a visual thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a cognitive thing. It's a visual, emotional thing. As soon as I see someone's face, I know who they are, I know their story. But if you tell me their name, it may not trigger anything in me at all. Because there's so many people. I mean, at one point, when I was working in Wales, I had 29 people called Pat Jones on the books. Yeah, which was completely, I mean, bonkers. but when I saw their faces, I knew who they were and I knew the story.
Yeah. This leads me nicely on to a podcast I was listening to last night. Doing a bit of research for our episode, would you believe it? Which I don't usually do. Can you actually put some effort in?
Yeah, that's what you call commitment.
Tim Ferriss Show. Tim Ferriss, hero of mine. The Tim Ferriss Show is a superb resource. He interviews amazing people every few days or whatever. One of whom was a chap called Ed Cook, who's a British guy, lives in London, and he's a grand master of memory, and he's one of these guys that, like, world record holder for memorising a deck of cards, you know, in about a ridiculous amount of time. And he was talking about the ways that, you know, the things he does and the way he remembers huge strings of numbers or whatever are available to all of us. And he actually trained someone up. A journalist came to him a while back and said, "Oh, can you teach me?" And so he took him under his wing for a year. And a year later, he was the American memory champion, whatever. Ed Cook uses these visualization techniques. So he associates each card with a story, and it visualizes the journey, and then he can just do. So using that in a practical sense in everyday life to remember our lives is doable, isn't it?
If you think about the nicknames that people get, the nickname is usually about some kind of visual or emotional association. So the guy that's always off sick is known as Sick Note. You know, that kind of thing. Because then you have the emotional association to the person. And I think that's the bit that's important. When the guy's going through the technique with the pack of cards, he's creating an emotional visual connection to the card.
Yep.
Yeah. The only people that don't work like that, who are outside of the normal rules, if you get someone who's high on the autistic spectrum, they can actually remember the whole of a telephone directory.
Right.
Yeah, and you can say a name, and they will give you their telephone number and tell you what page they're on in a thing that's maybe got 600, 700, 800 pages. Mm. Yeah. And it's a different part of the way that the brain functions, but it's outside of normal.
Yeah, behavior. It's not a muscle we exercise all that much. Though, I mean, when we're at school, the whole exam system is, a lot of it's built around memory in terms of. You know, it's called cramming in America, isn't it?
It's called cramming here too.
Yeah, a revision. You're revising for exams, I remember that time relatively well, not all that fondly, because you're just trying to cram a load of info into your head, so you can have it stored there for a few days, and then it disappears. Out it goes again. So,
I think that there's what I would see as short-term memory, which is I'm looking at a list with a telephone number, and I read the telephone number and I dial it. And the person's not there, so I have to go off and then I have to redial it, but I've got to look at the number again because it's only in short-term memory. It's not lodged in. Yeah? There's medium-term memory, which are things like when I learn something at school, like maybe I learned calculus or I learned something that at the time was relevant because I was learning it to pass the exam, but I've never used calculus since. So it's kind of dropped out of my easy, accessible memory.
Yeah.
And it may be that I can reinflate that. You know, maybe I learned German at school and I'm in Germany and I'm struggling around and then gradually it comes back. You know, maybe I can do that,
I remember Pythagoras' theory for some reason. I quite like that equation. E squared equals B squared plus C squared. Yeah. I used to really enjoy.
Is that the hypotenuse issue?
It's all that stuff, cosine, sine and all that, angles and stuff.
But the main thing is that either... if it's in long-term memory, it's gone into long-term memory, which our classic live in the present stuff, it takes you 30 days to build a circuit and another 60 days to get it into long-term memory. Yeah. And once it's in long-term memory, it never goes away. It's part of the scaffolding. Yeah? You may not use it. It may be out of the way. So the classic is riding the bike. I haven't ridden the bike for years ago on holiday. You start riding the bike, you wobble down the road, and then it comes back to you. It's there. It's locked in the system.
Yeah.
But that's true about bad habits, you know, drugs, alcohol, nicotine, you know, abuse, whatever. They're all things that are locked in the system, which in the right circumstances will reenact because they're in long-term memory. Yeah. But while we have no emotional association with that, then we can park it. We can just park it out the way. We don't use it. And so the people will say, "I've forgotten that." You know, no, they haven't. They've just parked it out the way. It's on the top floor of the car park in your head. You know, it's cool.
So there's a website called memrise.com, which I've discovered this morning, M-E-M-R-I-S-E.com. It's an online learning platform. It uses science of memory and learning to, you know, so you can... but learn things. There's all sorts of courses on there. Yeah. I would suggest checking it out.
But all of those courses will be teaching you to make an association with something.
Well, they're the tricks. That's how you learn these things.
Yeah, and that can be, usually it's visual pictures.
Yeah.
That's what you do. And which is, like I say, nicknames, stuff like that. If you look at memory fading, yeah, that what we're talking about is that if something becomes psychologically, is no longer relevant, its importance is diminished, then we forget it, we lose it, it disappears into the background.
Yep.
Yeah. The other kind of memory loss is much more to do with the hardware. I mean, we talk about grey matter, which is the actual structure of the brain. But white matter are the tissues where information is passed between bits of grey matter. And that's what decays when we get some kind of structural loss, whether we're calling it dementing or Alzheimer's, whatever. But what's happening is that the axons, the cells in the white matter, are starting to decay. Yep. I put a reference up here, which is useful.
Well, yeah, I mean, to be honest, we talked about cancer early on, but I find things like dementia and Alzheimer's way more terrifying. I know there's a lot of research more and more now being poured into, and money and clever minds being spent trying to combat those things. But that loss of memory and complete loss of my mind that's a horrendous existence.
Well, one of the things that you talk about that being scary, one of the things that I find a bit scary like that is when I worked in psychiatry, there were elderly mentally ill units, EMI units, and in those units there'd be lots of people that were demented.
Yeah.
So you'd go in and someone's crowing like a chicken, and you look at their notes and they're a scientist or whatever. You're thinking, well, how does that happen? But the nurses would tell you, and it's quite scary, this for me, is that when someone in that situation in an EMI unit dies, as they do eventually, that for a time before they actually go, it could be for hours or a couple of days, whatever, before they go, they become completely and utterly normal.
No way.
And completely and utterly there.
Yeah. Like
they've been gone for a long, maybe years, and suddenly they're right there, knowing who they are, knowing who you are, knowing what's going on. And that raises something for me that's never been answered. That is it that the person has just come back online and they don't remember the running around crowing like a chicken? Or is it that they've been trapped inside a body that they had no control over?
Wow.
And that's the bit that's scary to me.
Yeah.
Because imagine being inside a body that's doing all kinds of things that you don't want it to do, you know, because you'll see people, sometimes when people are stroked, but also when they're dementing a bit, and they want to say the word handcart, and they keep saying wheelbarrow, and then they get mad with themselves because they're thinking handcart, but wheelbarrow keeps coming out of their mouth.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? So that whole thing of what control am I having, is it a loss of control?
Yeah, yeah, I think, I mean, very little's been said about Michael Schumacher, how he's getting on, but the stuff that has been getting out is that he's at that stage where he's I think his mind's there, and I think the report came out that he was crying because I think he's so frustrated that he's remembering things, but he hasn't got the physical ability to do anything crazy. I watched The Theory of Everything on Monday night, which is that Stephen Hawking biography movie. Oscar-nominated Lark. Amazing performance by the lead guy. It's a cool film. Obviously, yeah, Stephen Hawking, you know. I think he can just communicate via by winking now, or his cheek muscle on his right under his right eye. And he uses that to, you know, say the characters on the screen. And the thing I don't know how many words a minute. It was like 4 words a minute when the film left off, he could write at and talk at.
Amazing.
Yeah, all those memories locked away that with little chance to get them out and talk about them. But
amazing. I mean, one of the things you were talking about was how can you remember what happened yesterday, that kind of thing. And when I did my initial training with the Eastern stuff, I can remember one of the teachers talking about that if you actually sat down today and you went through yesterday and you started to write down what happened yesterday, and then you started to write down what happened the day before, actually you can pull it all out. Mm. Obviously, that'd be a long process. I don't know the realities of it. But the idea that it is actually all in there is intact. And one of the things that I guess demonstrates that for me is that when I did my hypnotherapy training, And you're working with memory and hypno because you're changing the memory processes, you're changing the habit processes that are going on. But one of the things I always say to you is you should never use hypnotherapy for regression, so we all go out and start regressing each other. And that people's memories are usually quite intact cognitively back to about the age of 2.5, it always seemed to me. 3, 2.5, 2, maybe if you're lucky. Before that, the memory, like, say, Jacob at the moment, his cognitive memory isn't there, but he's got emotional memory.
Yeah.
And what tends to happen when I've worked with people from that hypnotherapeutic point of view is back to 2.5, they've got cognitive memory. Even people that say, no, I can't do that, they do get it.
Sure.
But prior to that, it just seems to be what it felt like.
Right.
And that's usually feelings of safety, security, happiness, sadness, that kind of thing.
You're saying that there's research showing that we've basically recorded everything. Our brains have recorded...
The evidence, like I say, once you start to get into it, even when you have areas that appear to be blank, you know, someone says, I can remember being 9, 8's a bit dodgy... Yeah, 7's a bit... I think 6 is okay. You know,
is good, yeah.
You can remember that.
Good.
It's those bits that are in the dark areas, usually where the problems are, so you get repressed.
You wonder when technology is going to catch up with something like this and be able to... when we're going to reach the stage where we can, like, rewind and just literally replay parts of our lives again and just plug in and get our Oculus Rift headsets on so we can see it in 3D.
Yeah.
And just relive these memories. If it's been recorded, there might be a way.
I mean, one of the things that always comes out when you do regression work is the issue of previous lives and do they exist. And that it's a fascinating area of research, but it's completely actually meaningless to me because if I was alive last time, it doesn't matter who I was, it doesn't pay the gas bill now because my life is in the present, which is live in the present.
Well... Yeah. Just quickly on that, I mean, we're talking about memory and about things that have happened in the past. Does that conflict with what we do at Living the Present in terms of living in the moment? Or, I'll counter that by saying that I try and use memory and the good things that have happened in my life to bring those good things into the present, so I'm constantly kind of in a good place.
I think that if you refine, certainly if you read the book, it's clearer, but if you refine the concept of living in the present, what we're talking about is living in the present emotionally. Because when you keep going over the past, unresolved stuff, it's the unresolved emotions you're going over. Yeah, you can't actually change the memory of the past because it happened.
Yep.
Yeah, but you can change the emotional connections to them, and that's what you're doing. When you learn to live in the present, you've taken away the emotional connections to the past.
Yeah.
So you can view them without any level of arousal. So that is losing depression, because that's what depression is. When you go the other way and you're looking at the future stuff, if you take the emotional associations away from the future, then you can view the future positively without having any fear and anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when we're talking about living in the present, we're talking about an emotional situation because the cognitive stuff is structural, it's there.
Yep.
Yeah. So from a hypnotherapy point of view, there's two kinds of hypnotherapy when you're working with somebody. If you've got the memory boxes in your head, you're either using aversion therapy to put something into a box. So say someone's got a smoking box in their head and inside that box is all the memories and the habits of smoking.
Mm-hmm.
If I can slip into that box the sensation of sweaty socks or burning tires, so that if the person puts a cigarette in their mouth, they now have a memory of sweaty shots, when they said sweaty tires, sweaty socks, yeah, that kind of thing, then it's aversive. It takes them away from the habit.
Yeah.
On the other kind of therapy is the issue about taking things out of the box. And my favourite is a real example where someone had rice pudding in their sex box.
Right.
And for some reason, things that have happened to them, they couldn't get eroticised unless rice pudding was involved. So and in that case, you're taking the rice pudding out of the memory box so that they can have what we would seem would be a normal sexual function without the rice pudding. So that kind of thing, when you're starting to use memory and play with memory, can be therapeutic, which is what we're doing. And I suppose the other bit in that is post-traumatic stress disorders or any situation where you've got flashing back memories that you don't want.
Yep, yeah, okay.
And then getting the person to the point where they can review the memories without having any negative association to them. So again, it's emotional.
Okay. I want to spend a bit longer on our resources of the week this week because I think they're vital. Just before that, I found a little article about 7 tips to improve your memory, just so that we can all start to kind of flex that muscle a little bit better.
Yep.
And to be honest, it's a cool little article, but they're all pretty obvious, to be fair to me, so I'll whiz through them. The things like staying mentally active, so yeah, keep learning, which is what we preach on here a lot.
Yeah, and things like the U3A, the University of the Third Age, lifelong learning,
mm-hmm,
people going on in the hundreds,
yep,
still learning new stuff.
Keep those connections going.
Yeah, and little... well, we know that the hippocampus will create 1,400 new brain cells a day, but only if you're learning new things. As soon as you stop learning new things, you don't get new brain cells.
So I'm going to, little things like I've found and read about taking different routes when you're on a journey to work or your friend's house or whatever.
Yeah.
Just go a different way.
But that's it. Different way, new experience, new brain cells.
Yeah.
New learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Socialise regularly.
Yeah.
Stay active.
Yeah.
Chat to people.
Yeah.
You know, it can be online, can't it? It doesn't have to be, you don't have to, you can go to a coffee shop, have a chat with the waitress, the...
Yeah, and that stimulates again, stimulates brain activity. Yeah.
Get organised, the heck. What do you think about that one? Yeah, I mean, read that one. You're more likely to forget things if your home is cluttered and your notes are in disarray.
Mm. But that's like the simplification of it. It's taking away the complexity. The simpler your life is, the easier it is to live.
Mm-hmm.
And most of our houses are full of rubbish that we don't need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, making life simpler does make life easier. Yeah.
Sleep well. Sleep's important to this.
Vital. Two parts of the sleep process. Deep sleep is about body repair, which includes brain repair.
Mm-hmm.
And dream sleep is about filing emotional stuff and processing emotional stuff, which is important too.
Sleep's important, as I've found
very
recently.
Important.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yes, right.
It's funny, you know, I do feel more alert now that Jake's sleeping better, even though my wife does most of the hard work in the night, well, down the middle of the week.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've got to be fresh for work and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I feel like I've come out of a bit of a coma. And I didn't even realise I was in one, you know?
Yeah.
Weird. Eat healthy. This is all really obvious stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. But also, if you're looking at things like cod liver oil, the omega-3 stuff, which you don't need necessarily from cod liver oil, but omega-3 feeds the brain. Loads of research. If you get a prison and you give everybody omega-3, levels of aggression and violence diminish.
Right.
So people start to calm down.
Wow.
And it works well with the brain, memory, all that kind of stuff.
Good. Okay.
Yeah.
And two more. Include physical activity in your daily routine. Again, this is all obvious stuff, guys.
But again, if your heart beats for 20 minutes, then your brain secretes serotonin and other endorphins that make you feel good.
If your heart beats for 20 minutes.
20 minutes. When I say
beats. If you want to go a bit longer than that.
Yeah. Get your heart rate up for 20 minutes.
For 20 minutes, okay.
Yeah. And that it is directly feeding your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Keeps your brain active, yeah.
So walk a different route to your friend's house.
Yeah, but walk at a pace.
Yeah.
To get a trot on, because then you get the release.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And lastly, manage chronic conditions. So follow your doctor's treatment recommendations for any chronic conditions such as depression or kidney, thyroid problems.
Yeah.
The better you take care of yourself, the better your memory is likely to be.
Also pain. Pain in itself can really affect you emotionally and affect your memory, but also the medications for pain can whack your memory out as well.
Right.
So working on that is good. But a couple of last things for me in this is that the other bit is that all of us are creating forward memory by expectation. So we talk about the thing about when you wake up in the morning, what are you expecting from the day? Because thoughts become things.
Yep.
And it's a bit like if I wake up and I feel like it's going to be a bad day, I build the forward memory of a bad day, so it becomes a done deal. So by the time I get there, I've proven to myself that I'm right.
Yep.
Yeah, so I have a bad day.
You do that regularly?
All the time. So it is a case of create good forward memory. Create things. It's like, what am I going to do today that's going to be good? And look at the task that you have to do today. Even if you go into work and you're doing the same old, look at it positively and you will feel differently about it.
Sure.
But the whole idea about New Year's resolutions, if they work properly, And if they are serious and you do them for 30 days and then 60 days, so you get the 90-day build-in, what you're doing is you're saying, okay, I'm going to build a forward memory where this year is going to be whatever it's going to be.
Sure.
Because I'm building the forward memory. Yeah, so that by the time I get to September, and I know that I've done it because I built the forward memory, so by the time I get there, I know it.
Mm-hmm.
I've done it.
Cool.
Yeah, but when people doubt and they go, oh, no, resolutions are a waste of time, what they're doing is they're building a forward memory that guarantees that their resolutions are going to be a waste of time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Flip it, okay. I wanted to, we'll go to resource of the week now because there's some cool... yours is a pretty straightforward set of tools, actually.
Yeah, this comes about working with all the medical staff I work with who are just overloaded. I mean, they're like chewed string. And that idea about being able to remember stuff and overload, the amount of stuff that's going in the system, and how do you retain it and make sure you do it. And people make mistakes, they do all kinds of stuff.
Yep.
And the amount of people that now who I'm saying what you need is you need a pad of paper and you need a pencil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and write it down. You know, and there's nothing bad about that. You can't do it electronically because you can't have phones and things on the walls. You know, but to have a pad and a pencil and just write it down and then tick it off as you do it. And then at the end of the day, you know you've done it, you can go home. Because I see loads of people who go home and then they're suddenly remembering things and they're ringing the ward up saying, did I do so-and-so? Have they done that? Could you do this for me?
Blimey.
Yeah, rather than actually completing it before they go.
Okay.
So a simple pad of paper and a pencil can change your life.
In terms of job lists and just...
Anything that you've got to remember.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've talked about it in the past. I keep a daily journal now.
Yeah.
And I've been for coming up to 4 years, which is cool. Just a few lines each day.
Yeah.
One of the problems I have, and we've got a bit lazy, is that I'll let it slip for 5 or 6 days. And then when I come to kind of remember, the memories have faded. And it'll just be... My days will just be a bit general, like I went here to work, which I do pretty much every day. Whereas the point of it when I started it was to just record the happy little moments, and I do most of the time, and then I'll just skip back randomly sometimes a couple of years and just see what I was doing, and those just reading a line or two about my day just fires these little memories, and that it's like, whoa, I can remember being there, and then I'll start to remember stuff around that day and what we were doing at that time in our lives. So yeah, that's really cool. I'm quite a regular tweeter. I use Facebook and I use mainly Instagram actually for taking photos of.
Yeah, if you think of photos, photo albums.
Yeah.
You know, you go back through albums of photos, and it's the picture, it's that visual thing, that, and all the memories come back, the feelings come back.
I sync that with a service called TimeHop, which is an app for smartphones, which reminds you every day of what you were doing online, at least. A year ago to the day, or 2 years, or 3 years. So I get these little memories every day, and it's like, whoa, amazing. Usually in the form of a photo from Instagram, or maybe a little tweet saying I went to the cinema, whatever. And I find that really powerful. You know, I know people may think, oh, it's digital lark and Facebook nonsense can be rubbish, and it can be, but it can also be really powerful if you use it properly. So, have a go at it.
Yeah, yeah, sounds good.
And my actual resource of the week is an app called Day One, which I think is iPhone, iPad and Mac only, unless there's a web version. But it's an online journal. You can just record a little thing for your day. You can snap a picture and it'll sync across devices, and it's a little record there.
I use a thing called Rememberery, which is an app on the iPad.
Cool.
Which you can put photos in and stuff like that too.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Plenty of stuff out there. All right. I think we're done, aren't we?
I think we're done.
That's memory ticked.
I can't remember anything else that we need to do.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed that. Yeah. I was going to mention Finding Nemo as well, which is the fish that can't remember things, but is trying to constantly remember.
Yeah.
But it's a good movie as well.
Yeah.
Watch it.
Yeah, and that idea that things can't remember, all things remember, plants remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, things build memory into the system.
Indeed. Fascinating. All right. Plenty of stuff to talk about there. And if you want to get in touch with us, drop us an email. Put a little comment on the underneath the show notes on the website, Facebook and all that stuff. We'll reach out and say hello.
We will.
Next week we're talking about long-distance relationships.
Yep.
How to keep them going.
Yep.
Or if you should. Maybe not. But we've had an email. A user? They're not users, are they? A listener.
Yeah.
Email in called Tyler, who's got a bit of a long distance thing going on with his girl, and I think he's struggling a little bit, so we'll dish out some tips, eh?
Sounds good.
All right, yeah. Find us all the show notes on the website, liveinthepresent.co.uk. Plenty of links on there to all and sundry about what we're doing. We'll leave it for there. Sean, you have a lovely week.
And you too. And everybody.
Yeah.
Have a wild time.
And remember it.
Yeah.
Even the bad bits.
Yeah, and remember that this podcast comes out every week.
Yes, Thursday mornings. Be there.
Okay. All right. See ya.
Cheers, see ya.
Bye.